Just three jerks talking sports and stuff.
And apparently, as long as it's not insensitive towards Native Americans, you can get a team name change in Washington.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Their voices are as soft as a baby's butt.
Should we make this a video podcast?
Because isn't there nothing better than watching people talk into a microphone?
They've got themselves a kick-ass intro song, making up for the fact they're often wrong.
Money rules all, cash,
whatever that around me.
Yeah. I'm clearly not the hip-hop guy on this podcast.
I'm also sad that I knew that.
But win, lose, or draw, their picks are a blast. Sasha, Matt, and Eric bring you The Oddcast.
After a few weeks off, resting and forgetting all about NFL action, we are back to discuss the March Madness that is the start of the NFL season. That's right.
Hashtag not taken.
Yep. I'm Eric.
I'm Matt.
I'm Sasha.
This is The Oddcast. We typically break down football, even when football's taking a little break itself.
Yeah, this is perfect timing. The entire country isn't worried about another massive sporting event right now. Let's talk about NFL free agency.
Exactly. They've been stealing all the headlines lately, what with Riley Reiff and, you know, the names you...
Huge signings. Yeah.
That's kind of the thing. We knew, like, Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell were all free agents this year, but once they get tagged, I kind of didn't realize how unsexy the remaining market was. Not a lot of boner-inducing signings to start this new league year.
The biggest names always get snapped up
long
before it actually starts.
Yeah, we knew the majority of the guys who were. Like, the one guy that surprised me, I didn't think Melvin Ingram or JPP would get tagged.
I think they're both smart moves, though.
I think Ingram definitely is. I'm not sold on JPP. I think the Giants have too many other issues they need to address.
But I think they saw how well the D-line did as a whole last year and didn't want too much change because they're letting Hankins go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into all that. Obviously, there are some big names changing teams and perhaps a new sheriff in Houston. We'll see. But first, we just wanted to see how much you guys have actually been following NFL free agency, because Lord knows I've missed a couple big moves. So I wanted to play a quick game of, did they switch teams? I will give you a player.
I like it.
And you tell me if they are still under contract with the same team or have moved on to a new location from where they finished the 2016 year.
Da-da-da-da.
Very
da-da-da-da.
Simple. Should not take long.
What are we doing here? Like, buzz in just first to shout it out?
Oh, I've got the bell.
Well, yeah, and then I guess the other person will have a chance to steal the only two options. All right, we'll start with former podcast punching bag, Ryan Mallett. Has Ryan Mallett found himself a new home this offseason?
I'm going with no. No,
Ryan Mallett.
He's still a Raven.
He's still a Raven. You are correct.
Yes.
You kind of answered at the same time, so...
I think we can... Let's tag team this.
All right.
Let's be on a team.
Yeah.
Because I want your knowledge.
And we're all working towards a common goal of...
Not looking stupid.
Exactly.
Pretending we know what we're talking about.
All right. Let's go with a running back who was on like seven different teams last year, CJ Spiller. Do you even know who he finished last year with?
Oh,
and is
man.
He still with them?
Is he a Seahawks?
He ended up finishing with New Orleans, right?
The answer to this question is so arcane that even the host of the show does not know.
I know the answer to the
question.
Oh,
so yes, clearly he did switch teams. Because you don't know what team he finished last season with. I'm going with yes.
Yeah, we got him.
For the steal.
Yeah. Damn your logic. Yeah. No, here it is. Apparently he finished with the Jets.
He did, yes. They signed him when they had the injury concerns with Forte.
Yeah.
And it was, and he looked so bad.
Do you know where he is now?
I don't.
Kansas City.
Huh. Okay.
Jamal Charles replacement.
Sure.
Bad knees and all. Let's go with another fun name. Corey Philly Brown.
Oh,
Panthers wide out.
I don't think so. I didn't hear about him moving. I could have missed it.
I think he did switch teams.
That is correct.
Damn.
He is one of the wide receivers that went into Buffalo.
Yes.
Not one of the ones that left.
Yes.
I have a personal hatred towards this player. Safety for the Buccaneers, Chris Conte.
Yes, I believe Conte did switch teams.
Nope.
No?
Still under contract with the Bucks. Okay. Goat, and not the good goat, bad goat, for the Cardinals last season. Kicker Chandler Catanzaro. Did they put up with him for another year?
Oh, kickers.
No, they added Phil Dawson, so I assume they got rid of Catanzaro.
Yes,
they did.
They did get rid of him?
They sent him packing.
Has he signed him or yet?
I think I saw he was with the Jets.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
The Jets are actively trying to lose, so that makes sense.
This is their tagging.
Yeah.
And finally, white Vikings receiver, Adam Thielen.
They better have kept him. He was like their best player.
Yeah. He's tendered right now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not even a free agent.
No. He's restricted. Yeah, he's restricted, and they tendered him.
No, they let Greg Ellingson go.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd get them confused.
and Cordarrelle Patterson as well. Patterson just signed with the Raiders.
So we're generally aware of what's happening.
Sort of. Trust 60% of the things we say.
Well, and like all those guys are obviously huge difference makers, right?
You gave us the big names.
But yeah, so that's...
Oh, it's a fun game.
But that's some of the news you were getting,
was
too.
Was there a winner? There was...
The listener.
Yeah, like these are some of the things NFL.com is reporting, because there were some slow days this weekend. A couple big trades, but overall, the signings themselves have not been too insane. Pretty much everyone was gone after day one.
Yeah, and I mean, like our, what we're going to get into here, I mean, the biggest name of free agency is still out there, Tony Romo.
Yeah.
Have they even finally, they have released him yet, right? Have they granted his release?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he has officially been released yet.
Yeah. No. See, that's why it takes so long.
They're still hunting this trade. And, like, that's the thing. You know what? Like, Jerry Jones isn't going to do Tony Romo wrong here. He's not going to trade him to the Jets. He's not trading him to the 49ers, the Bears. Like, he's not going to do that to Tony Romo. There's only two options for trade partners, either Houston or Denver. And Denver has just recently said, like, we are not even in discussion about a trade. And Houston has basically said the same thing.
Yeah.
This is just a rumor made up by Jerry Jones to try to fish, you know, maybe a fifth to seventh round pick, but no one's going to give it up.
Trying to start a bidding war.
Yeah. So, you know, at this point, Dallas is like, okay, do they want to wait till the post June 1st and save some dead money like that gets carried over till next year? Kind of where they're in now, but again, that's kind of doing Tony Romo wrong, you know, making him... What happens when Houston goes and drafts a quarterback, right?
Yeah,
then all of a sudden they're kind of out of the sweepstakes. What if...
The longer you wait, the less you know about the offense when you get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if Houston drafting a quarterback makes that much of a difference. You could just sit behind Romo for a year.
Agreed, especially that late in the draft,
with this draft,
but
in particular.
What if they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? They don't learn their lesson about, judging a quarterback off a couple games, and they leverage the future for Garoppolo next, right? Like, Houston needs a quarterback. They're going to chase one down, and if Dallas gives them the runaround, I don't know how long they'll wait for Tony Romo.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, it is, like, we can agree that it's either, Tony Romo is either a Bronco or a Texan, right? Like, there's nowhere else.
If he hits the open market, it kind of changes things a little. Because then, like, we don't know what the going rate for him is, right? When teams can actually negotiate with him and set their own price.
I've heard, somewhere around, like, $12 million a year is what people want to give him.
And if you can, create some wiggle room. Like, maybe some other teams come out of the woodwork, like a Jacksonville or, like, a Los Angeles.
But that's the thing. I think Romo only at this point cares about winning. Like, I think he just wants to win.
If you add Romo to the Jaguars, how do they finish, assuming he plays a full season?
Are they drafting Leonard Fournette?
Maybe.
I think, okay, so, like...
They're winning that division. It's, because then it's...
I don't know.
Against Houston without a quarterback, there's still a 9-7 team.
Maybe. I think Houston is one of the most complete teams in football. They only lack a quarterback.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, can Tony Romo put that Jacksonville team over the top? That's close.
On paper,
like,
I kind of think so.
I mean, especially, long. We're going to talk about it in a bit, but I mean, winners of free agency.
Yeah, again, you know, for the 18th straight year, the Jaguars have won free agency.
Well, yeah, I think if you put a, you know, I would agree. If you put a quarterback on that team, I think they win. But I don't know if Romo wants to roll the dice like that. I think he wants to just walk into the playoffs.
But speaking of like rolling the dice, like any move for Tony Romo is in itself a roll of the dice.
Taking
right?
another snap is a roll of the dice.
Like every
on whether he'll walk again.
And that's where like if you really think like the two destinations that are possible are Houston or Denver, how does he not choose, like knowing the glass bone state that he walks around in, how does he not choose Houston?
Yeah.
Like playing behind
better offensive line,
and you don't have to face like Justin Houston and Khalil Mack and Melvin Ingram. Like the best pass rushers in the entire game all exist in the AFC West.
Yeah,
Houston's the only team with a good pass rush in that division.
I'm sorry, the Colts added Jabal Sheard and John Simon, so that's a formidable pass rush now.
And I guess for the second straight year, the Jaguars are spending a ton of money on a defensive lineman, so that's surely going to work as well as last time.
Okay, so where do you think Romo goes then?
I think so many factors make it a smart choice. Like, I don't know what in-state rivalry is like in Texas. Like, I'm assuming Cowboys fans don't care about Houston at all.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, like, it's like the little brother, like, Houston hates Dallas, but not vice versa.
The Purdue Indiana's, Butler.
Yeah.
Indiana Butler.
So, like, I would assume he wouldn't be doing, like, the Cowboys fans wrong by going over to Houston. It's close-ish. Closer than Denver. He doesn't have to uproot his family. As good a chance to win as Denver, if not maybe slightly better. And then, they clearly cleared that cap space for him. I don't really know what else they could be doing.
No, that was it. We're going to give up a second round pick to try to acquire Tony Romo, even though now they don't want to give up a 7.
If they don't get him, this offseason is sort of a disaster for you.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, you're still in a better spot than you
Sans Osweiler, I think they are better.
It's the biggest addition
by
the
subtraction. Andrea Bargnani.
Exactly. And then you get to find out if Savage is your guy or what you're doing after this, right?
Didn't they already figure that out, though?
What, that he's made of glass, too? Like, he's only played, like, 2 games, right? He's the same as Osweiler, and he's got a tiny sample size.
He's no Trevor Siemian.
The only thing that kind of draws me to think, I mean, one, obviously my own bias, but Elway, what he did to get Manning there, there's the whole, he has a way of luring quarterbacks and luring these prized free agents to Denver. You know, that's the one thing that draws me to think that, he may wind up in Denver. But I do think Denver's obviously a lot more content with their quarterback situation than Houston is right now.
Yeah, their hand is less forced.
Yeah, and they're really, really hoping for Paxton Lynch to step up and be the starter this year. But, you know, I would agree. I think Houston's going to be the more aggressive team of the two. I think Denver still wants to add another offensive lineman as well. Not that there's much out there, but I think they do.
Yeah, so that puts the ball on Romo's court, really. Do you want the better deal to go to maybe a less desirable team?
Yeah.
Or I could see him looking at a Denver defense and thinking, man, how can I never had anything like that in Dallas. That might be kind of sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can play as bad as Peyton did
in
2015 and still win a ring.
Yeah.
So then the other kind of, you know, you may not be the best player left, but big name on the market.
Can I just say, though, because you had this question down, too. Where would I like to see Romo go?
Where would you like to see
Romo? That is a different answer.
Yes.
I would love to see him in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Okay. I would love to finally see the Chiefs, like, put themselves really all in instead of just, like...
I just don't think Alex Smith is the problem. Like, you look back to that Steelers game, and...
Here's the thing. You remember when Nick Foles came in last year and Alex Smith was injured and like took some deep shots and like some of them worked and it was Nick Foles and it was like, man, this offense, like, it's got some facets that maybe Alex Smith isn't really utilizing their full potential. And so like, I see what Eric's saying for sure. Like, I would like to see what Romo does there, but at the same time, I don't know if it's the right move for the Chiefs.
It would be like, we're done making the divisional round for the next 5 years and we're just kind of going for it. But, like, I would just... Like, Romo's the one piece that can change the AFC picture. Because right now, it's, like, the same teams that always contend. And then you got maybe Oakland coming on if Carr stays healthy. But we're probably heading for the same, like, boring conference final we always see. So it'd be nice to see him go to Houston or Kansas City or, like, and just give us a new real challenger rather than go see, like, Big Ben lose in Foxborough again. Like, give us something new. Or Joe Flacco. Like, give me... I just want to see a new challenger rise, and he's the last piece that can, like, make that happen.
Do it for Aaron.
Yeah!
I would obviously like to see him in Denver.
You don't say.
But, yeah. Okay, so AP, real quick. I think we can almost conclude. It's come down to basically, like, four teams for AP. Either goes back to Minnesota. He signs with the Giants, really takes a big pay cut, and goes to New England.
Or the Cowboys?
I was going to say Oakland, who really apparently is interested in him.
Yeah. What happened to that Cowboys chatter, though?
Or Jerry Jones, it does something stupid and spends money on another running back that he shouldn't.
I don't even know if I care, like, if he moves the needle at all. I know, like, he took that year off, so you'd think he'd be a little fresher than, like, most backs his age, but... What are his knees even like anymore?
I don't know. The last time we questioned AP's knee, he went off.
How many years ago was that?
I think that was only like 3 or 4, yeah.
Okay, my only question then is he following the Tom Brady diet for the last 3 years?
If he goes to England, you'd think Brady would get him on the diet.
Might be too late now, though.
I think he either goes to New England or the Giants.
I could see Oakland. I heard that
the I think they'd offer him the most money.
I think his interest was somewhat mutual. I think he was open to that.
Yes.
Like Eric said, they're maybe the one team in the AFC that's sort of on the rise and can challenge the Patriots. But, yeah, I see it being New England, and I see him being not exactly what he was, but I see him being a useful player for them because that's just what Belichick does, is turn garbage into something useful, and I don't think he's quite garbage yet.
Get to be like the Corey Dillon
joint
tag along for a run and see what happens. Yeah.
Where's he going?
What else hasn't New England brought in this offseason? I'm sure we're going to get into that next, but like...
Well, yeah. some real rapid fire here. I just want quick answers. What is Mike Glennon going to be in Chicago?
Hopefully Kyle Orton from circa 2008.
I'm going to go with awful and Bears. Bring up the rear in the NFC North.
I think he's going to be all right. I think he'll be good enough to not get cut after this season.
Wow.
Ooh.
I think he will remain the starter going into 2018. So long as they don't spend that first, that third overall pick on a quarterback. Brian Hoyer, is he going to start in San Francisco?
Given that his competition? Yeah, Matt Barkley.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, nothing, but are they going to draft quarterback or... And even if they do draft quarterback.
I think Hoyer starts.
Hoyer and Shanahan made some...
He'll be the week one starter, definitely. Yeah. And then I can't imagine throwing him into, like, this dumpster fire right now, whatever rookie they take, like Trubisky or whatever, and be like, hey, surely this will not turn into Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
Where is Jay Cutler going to land?
Jets just makes sense because, one, they're the Jets, but, two, like, they do have some decent young receivers, and if you want to get them, like, any balls their way, you can't go with, like, Kaepernick or Petty or anything else that's out there, right? Like,
definitely not Hackenberg.
No, you'll learn a couple things from Cutler. You'll learn how to break up interceptions. you'll learn how to make some deep downfield catches, and I don't know. It's definitely... For where they are, which is in tank mode, he's the best fit right now.
Yeah, I was sort of joking about the tanking thing, but like based on the moves that they made, it really feels like it. But then you hear like the effort they're putting into bringing Dante Hightower, and that makes me like,
what? Why are you trying to bring in such a good player?
I think it's just an FU to the Pats.
That was what I was hoping. Is no, they are trying to lose, but they don't want the Pats to win at the same time. But no, I agree. I think he ends up a Jet.
I think the only other option is going to be, like, maybe Houston for him. Like, if Romo doesn't fall, that doesn't work out.
But even then, he'd go in as, like, to win the job, right? They wouldn't.
I don't know. I think they'd hand it to him.
Because Bill O'Brien's pretty. Would.
Not with Tom Savage.
Yeah, he's pretty into Savage.
Sort of showing something.
Does Kaepernick start for a team week one?
No.
Well, I mean, I'll never say maybe no, because a billion injuries can always happen.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I don't think anyone signs him to bring him in. I don't think anyone brings him in as their starter.
Yeah.
I want to see Kaepernick go to the Bills and back up Tyrod Taylor, because I think he's basically a poor man's Tyrod Taylor, and that would be a good
but
sort of protection.
Wasn't
good
Buffalo
insurance.
Just terrible to him when they was San Francisco went there last year?
Yeah. Sounds about right. I just think it makes sense from a personnel perspective.
Where does Osweiler sign?
USFL's done, right?
I think so.
I honestly don't know if anyone signs him, given the personality concerns that are arising.
Yeah, the whole story about him and Bill O'Brien in the locker room and everything,
getting at each other's
throat. And, I mean, you heard it as well in Denver. It kind of came out afterwards where, you know, he threw a little tantrum because they went back to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I guess Gase knows him. I could see, and he seems pretty cocky. I could see him bringing him in to just be, like, the third stringer in camp. Like, maybe try and work his magic and then, like, cut him if it doesn't work. But, like, I would, like, not...
Just seems like a Jets move, though, for me. That's...
If they're in full tank mode.
Let's really drive this thing into the ground.
Yeah. Then I love it.
All right. So that covers kind of the quarterback situations, the big AP ticket there. Let's get into some winners. Who's your winner of free agency thus far, or maybe winners...
Well, I want to point to the opposite ends of the standings, because I think we can all agree the defending champs also
champion. So
they were the champions of this offseason.
I hate them. Who gives them Coney Ealy for nothing? What bothers me is this whole Cooks trade is going to turn... Like, now they're shopping Malcolm Butler back to New Orleans. They're going to end up getting New Orleans' first round pick, so they're basically going to move up.
That's the thing.
The first round.
That's why New England's trades are so great. They always take a pick back. They never surrender more draft picks. Like, the Cooks trade, they did, but that's the only pick they've actually, like, lost. They'll take, like, a seventh back. They're always compiling draft picks. They're never, ever giving them up. And then they're also adding... Yeah, they added... Coney Ealy, Dwayne Allen.
Stephon Gilmore. And then, I mean...
Brandon Cook.
One of the things that bothers me the most is, like, they play this play hardball with Dante Hightower.
They're their best players. They have no loyalty.
And now, Hightower goes around, and I'm sure, like, there's no way these teams aren't offering him big money.
Oh, yeah.
Someone like Pittsburgh, more. Tennessee, the Jets, like, they're offering... He's brainwashing. He's going to go back to the Pats.
Yeah. He's going to come back and be like, here's all the offers I got, and they'll be like, cool, we'll raise you, like... $5,000 more than what you're already making. You'll be content with that.
Like, every team he's already met with has said he's re-signing with the Pats.
Yeah. Winning begets winning,
like,
I think is...
Oh, my God. It's so annoying.
It really is.
Anyways, let's not say the Pats are winners, because they're going to win everything else.
Well, then let's go to the complete opposite end of the standings.
Please.
And give
the Browns.
Cleveland Browns a lot of credit.
I like it.
They
offensive line.
Finally.
Oh, man.
They finally... know what they're doing. Yeah. First thing right out of the gate, you can't evaluate quarterbacks when they're all getting injured.
Yeah.
So what do? They go get two of the best interior linemen that were on the market in Kevin Zeitler and J.C.
Treader. Yeah.
Yep.
Resigned Antonio.
So they got their interior line all shored up. Joe Thomas still a tackle, so their only weakness right now is right tackle. And they got a bajillion draft picks they can try and upgrade that at. So whoever is playing quarterback, if it's Kessler or whatever they draft, like, they'll at least be able to stand up.
Yeah.
They'll
have a running game to fall back on.
They lose Terrell Pryor in an odd deal.
That was really weird.
Yeah. If you're going to do the franchise tag thing, why wouldn't you stay in the place where you're, like, a 1,000-yard receiver and, like, you know you're going to get targets?
I don't know. Yeah.
They basically just swapped Kenny Britt for... Terrell Pryor was
Which
the thing.
Was weird.
For basically the same money. I'm just shocked. I think Terrell Pryor is the better
player, and they both have the same sort of off-field concerns.
Yeah.
Like, people just seem to friggin' hate Terrell Pryor.
Well, that's the thing you start to wonder. Like, is this guy really a jerk or something? Like...
But
he never fired back to the media, though, about any of it, which makes you think, like, oh, he's just a, like, quiet guy. Like, maybe he really just...
But can, like, 18 different people really be wrong?
But, like, either way, it opens up more targets, because Kenny Britt, I can't see them, like, I could see it being more of a Dwayne Bowe situation than anything. It just opens up more targets for, like, the Corey Colemans and, like, all the receivers are already bringing in. Because you got to start finding, like...
Your future.
Yeah. Pryor is great, but he's like in his prime right now. The Browns are still 2 years away from really being anything. So kind of get younger at the skill positions and
keep,
shore up everything.
Keep buying
else.
Draft picks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was the best thing of all.
Brilliant.
Yeah. The salary
Brilliant.
Jump. Bringing that over from pretty
yeah.
much every other professional league. Huh. NFL is like rarely ever does this.
No, this is the first actually. This is the first time I've ever heard of this happening.
And yeah, it was really unique circumstances that brought it about. And $16 million is a lot for a second round draft pick, but at the same time, if you have the money,
you're not spending.
And you have to spend it, right? Like there is a floor that they had to get to. So
nice, I like it. It's a good winner.
Yeah,
Sasha, winner.
Well, the Jags, as we talked about, added Calais Campbell, Bouye from the Texans,
Barry
Church. I actually really like the addition of Brandon Albert to the offensive line.
Yeah,
I know he comes with injury concerns, but.
He's
like
a major upgrade over
Beach upgrade. Yeah.
But we fell for declaring the Jags winners after last year.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the identical thing. They went out and got a safety, a Barry Church. They got a D lineman and paid a lot for him.
We're not saying it's going to
it's going to work. I'm saying they brought in the best players.
they have a very loaded roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are
that will suffer because Bortles throws pick six after pick six.
Yep.
Okay.
They're
the Jags.
They did what they could do, which I respect.
Nah.
They have the look of the next Houston, the team that
everywhere
else is set.
Yep.
They look really good on defense right
now.
And like I was saying earlier, like I do think they're going to draft Fournette. But if they don't go with Fournette, I kind of think Jonathan Allen might fall to them now, too, after
the
shoulder. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, the Jags are a team that may kind of take a shot. Really, really solidify that defensive line.
Yeah.
If he, you know, can...
Yeah, it's a weird one because everything he does in games is amazing, and then he has this like horrible combine. And it's like, what do you value more? Like, I'm not a talent evaluator, but at the same time, if you do it on the field, I know you're not doing it against NFL competition, but in the SEC, you almost are.
Yeah, that's and you're playing for a guy who could be an NFL coach. Like, it's an NFL system, but no, the combine will always ruin everything because like. I'm sure John Ross is going to go so much higher.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't in the first round, but he's going to be now, 100%. I love the combine.
If Al Davis was alive, he'd be just trading to first overall.
Every pick he has.
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually had three teams written down on my sheet here, assuming I'd go third. And
did we say them all?
You said the Browns, you said the Jags. I had the Pats as a side note, just I didn't want. I hate them.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing, is like it doesn't move the needle. They were already the favorites. Now they're just favorite-er.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm going to kind of jump on with what Eric is talking here in offensive line. I'm gonna go with the Lions. I really like what the Lions did. First of all, you steal TJ Lang from the Packers.
Yeah, always a good thing.
Great thing. And they get Ricky Wagner, the top. I think it's safe to say he was the top right tackle on the market. This is a team who had, like, they were their 30th ranked rushing attack in the league last year. It was just all Matt Stafford. So if you, all of a sudden, these two guys, I think they can, you know, get a running game going. Obviously.
They did lose a couple guys on the O-line, right?
Yeah, they were, they lost Warford and Reif. So I do think these two guys are upgrades over those two guys. I know there's some arguments over Wagner, Reif, but I would take Wagner.
Yeah. My concern there is that you see sometimes these offensive lines take some time to cohese and come together.
I mean, that many new pieces could be take some time.
Hopefully a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah, I like what the Lions did. I think now they're just going to address pass rusher in the draft, and
it's a good draft for it.
All of a sudden,
you sign like Latavius Murray, hopefully too. Get yourself some sort of like
another one. I like Amir Abdullah. I think he will be a good back for them. But
and if he goes down, Zach Zimmer, right?
There you go. Okay, we need quick losers. A quick loser.
It's hard to say because normally you gotta wait.
I think I know what you're gonna say. Like I'm actually 100%.
Well, that's like
because I have them written down as my loser too.
Yeah, but we're all just under the assumption that if you lose more players than you retain, especially when you're losing like Pro Bowl level offensive linemen, I guess you could be chalked up as a loser.
Yeah.
But I won't steal your thunder. So I'll say, I think Packers had some bad losses
yeah.
in the secondary and the offensive line, the two areas they mm-hmm. needed to retain more talent.
They just brought in Devon House today, yeah. I think I saw, right? Yeah. Which is like...
That's a re-signing, right?
Well, no, he went to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because they are bringing him back. He was with Green Bay, but he just went to, I believe he was just with Jacksonville this last year, and they released him.
I can't really throw my stupid Bears in just yet because they only gave away like $49 million in guarantees, and who knows what any of these players will turn into. But so I'd just say probably Green Bay, and then I think it's just kind of funny. Also, like a side note, Carolina and Minnesota just kind of swapped tackles.
Yeah.
What the hell was that Khalil contract? Because that is ridiculous.
But, and then the Vikings take back Mike Remmers. It's like,
they at least landed another. They brought in Rife as well. Yeah, right? Yeah. So like that's at least. But yeah.
Talk about addition by subtraction. Yeah, obviously mine is the Bengals. Oh my god,
it's the saddest offensive Bengals line in the world.
Offensive line was not good last year, and now the two best players from it, Andrew Whitworth and Zeitler, are gone. And quietly, don't have Pecco from the defensive line is out the door.
Go Broncos.
But hey, at least we got Brandon LaFell back.
It's funny because I knew he was going to say that. He's going to also mention that they brought the one player who nobody cares about.
Is that
back.
The only thing they brought in so far?
They re-signed Drake Kirkpatrick.
Yeah. They're never active in free agency, really bringing people in. They're not splashy. They've been pretty good at retaining their own lately. But they had this game plan a couple years back of Whitworth's getting old, our line's getting old, we're going to draft these offensive linemen early and they're going to be the replacements. And guys like Cedric Ogbui are not progressing at the level that they need to be. And the plan isn't really working out. It's not coming to fruition where there are guys who can step in and replace the likes of an Andrew Whitworth, like an all-pro tackle. But they are just saying, F it, this was our plan, and we're sticking to it.
I'm gonna go with Arizona. They lost Calais Campbell, which I think is going to be massive. In my mind, he was the best player available in free agency. I know Alshon Jeffery is the sexy name. But I think Calais Campbell, that's a huge loss. They lose Tony Jefferson. They lose DJ Swearinger. Both guys played pretty big roles for that defense last year. And I mean, it felt like they needed...
Well, they're in kind of a transition.
They were in trouble with the cap.
Last year was their all-or-nothing season, right?
Yeah.
And now they're in, like, a transition mode where, like...
They're hard on the cap, they don't know
what
you're doing.
They had to keep Chandler Jones. Yeah. They had to do that,
Carson Palmer's costing them way too much money, but they can't cut him because he's still owed too much guaranteed.
Yeah.
And what else could you do?
It's a bad spot. But, I mean, they put themselves in this spot.
Yeah.
With their decisions over the last two years, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think Arizona. And then just a quick shot at Seattle. Like, they had one thing to do.
And Luke Jokel isn't...
Well, actually, it's funny because I think they're talking about Jokel at guard, though.
The one place they were
I was reading there, they're going to possibly put him in guard. Like, they had one thing to do, and that was replace George Fant, and they haven't done that.
Maybe they're doing it in this totally loaded offensive lineman draft.
Totally.
He said sarcastic.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you don't have to pay those kids, right? And they do not want to pay their offensive line. So that's clearly the goal over anything else.
So your biggest difference maker. One guy is going to make the biggest difference for his new team. So this isn't, not a team who won, but maybe just one player.
So
he's going to make in this.
I don't know if this is going to be the biggest difference maker, but this is one I really liked just because as a Bengals fan, like, this one scares me. It's the Ravens bringing in Danny Woodhead. I really that.
Yeah.
To an offense that is just so unimaginative. I hope that they can figure out ways to use him like San Diego did. Actually, I hope they don't, but I think they will. I think Danny Woodhead's a really interesting, intriguing player who can add a lot of different facets to basically any offense that brings him in. So he's mine.
This is kind of a cop-out, but quarterback's the most important position, and San Francisco now has a guy who knows how to throw a football. So that's going to be a big difference there.
Okay, I like it.
Are you talking about Hoyer or both?
Yeah. Both?
I'm going to go with Lawrence Timmons, the Dolphins.
Really?
They were one of the, I mean, they had one of the worst run defenses in the league last year, and they could not cover a running back out of the backfield either. I think Timmons solves a lot of those problems. You play him alongside Kiko Alonso. All of a sudden, that's a pretty good linebacking core. I think he's going to make a huge difference in Miami.
I do like that Pittsburgh lost him.
Yeah, there you go. Biggest shocks. What shocked you the most?
The amount of money these terrible tackles are getting.
Yeah, and the relative lack of interest in receivers. DeSean Jackson got the most guaranteed money. Pryor and Jeffrey.
I really like that move, too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's a one we should.
Tampa.
But yeah, like the two best or in their prime receivers, I mean, one coming off a bad year, one coming off his best year, but yeah, both of them taking like a tag to just earn some money next year. I don't know. Yeah. It was a weird move. And then like everyone else just kind of short-term deals. I think Garcon got the longest one, and that's because San Francisco was just like, well, we need somebody to play.
Shanahan likes him.
Yeah, and like there's a lot to like too. It's just funny that like this is the one place that like isn't getting spoiled with like excess. It just struck me as odd.
Sasha?
The amount of money Matt Khalil got is what surprised me the most, because he's awful. Like, what? Why pay him? Why not just go with any other option? This is a bad draft for tackles.
Terrible.
But at the same time,
the top tackle is, being said that he may need to move to guard.
Well, then move your guard to tackle.
Yeah.
So you touched on Cincinnati letting their linemen walk. The big shock to me was Andrew Whitworth choosing to sign with the Rams. Like, why?
Maybe.
Why do you want to go? Like, how old is he? 34 years old, I believe.
Yeah,
like, he's right on the.
I think the desire to win got sucked out of him in Cincinnati.
Well, that's what I'm like. That's what you're hearing leading up to free agency is, you know, Whitworth and his agent were saying we really want to go to a contender. Like, if Cincinnati's, you know, if they want us back and they're going to pay us.
Is Cincinnati a contender?
No.
Well, not anymore. Definitely not anymore.
But I think it would be fun to block for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, well, and you look at the other teams that were tackle needy, like Denver, like Minnesota, Seattle.
LA is a fun place to live.
Yeah, probably.
That's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Probably has something to do with it.
Just that. But that shocked me that Whitworth just kind of said, I'm okay retiring, never getting to the playoffs.
And I guess we're forgetting.
Oh, sorry. He went to the playoffs.
Never
winning in the playoffs.
We are forgetting, like, it's been a while, so the shock wore off. But, like, the Osweiler trade was the most shocking thing, too, right?
Yeah.
Just the announcement that, like, they managed to get that done.
Yeah.
That was, like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the brief period of time where everyone was like, is Osweiler the Browns quarterback of the future?
Like 5 seconds,
yeah,
isn't it?
And then everyone thought about
all
it rationally for 2 seconds.
All of those tweets started getting deleted. anything else we missed you guys really want to bring up?
Honestly, I can't imagine we missed anything.
I do like Philadelphia getting two wide receivers
for
Wentz.
Yeah, but it's just a
kind of compliment.
Jeffrey's going to leave. Jeffrey, like, he's going
to... Well, he's going to definitely be looking to make a lot of money
and,
after this contract.
Yeah, and Philly's not going to have a lot of cap space if they keep paying all these guys on defense. So.
Does it feel like Washington is actively trying to screw Kirk Cousins out of money by bringing him in the franchise tag and then letting DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon go so he doesn't have this like litany of five awesome targets to throw to? His stats are going to dip, and it's going to be like, whoa, we're clearly not giving you a long-term deal.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's kind of suggesting to me that San Francisco might wait and not draft a quarterback this year, just for the fact that Kirk Cousins maybe a free agent next year.
And they're still probably going to be bad next year. I guess next year's class is better, I think. Can't be worse.
Not much. But yeah, that's about it for me.
That's good for me.
Good job by the Bears. Your strategy of, hey, this might work. I mean, I think it's going to work. I can't wait to watch us lose games 10-7 next year.
At least it will be different.
That's true. It won't be back-breaking interceptions. It'll be back-breaking three and outs.
All right. Is that it?
That's it. Do we know when we're back next?
I don't know. Probably. We'll do something like
post-draft.
Probably.
Yeah, probably
post-draft.
Yeah. When is it? Oh, they keep moving it back, right? It's in May now, right?
No, I think it's like the first day, I think it's like
27th.
26th or 27th. The Thursday night.
Probably.
Yeah, 27th.
Yeah, all right. I'm sure by then, maybe Romo will have been released and and we'll have something to talk about.
Maybe we'll know a little more about football.
Oh, no, no. We're going to go research brackets now. So, anyway, thanks.
Go Broncos.
See ya. Thank you.